A MASH unit is running low on morphine, but injured soldiers just keep arriving. In desperation, the doctors give the wounded injections of harmless saline solution. And soon, many of them are sleeping, released from their pain. It's the placebo effect, the ability of a sugar pill to alleviate ailments and pain. Though not well understood, the placebo effect is a widely accepted medical fact. Or it was, until now. Recently, Danish researchers sent shockwaves through the medical establishment with a simple claim. The placebo effect is a myth. Dr. Ted Kopchak of Harvard Medical School, an expert on placebos, told Steve Paulson how the Danish researchers could make such a claim.
The Danish researchers did a very clever and very almost impossible to believe meta-analysis or systematic review of trials. And what these researchers found was that if you just took the dummy treatment, the placebo treatment, and compared it to a no-treatment control, there was very little difference between the two. And their conclusion was that the placebo, so-called powerful placebo, was really not very powerful. It probably didn't exist in many conditions. And they found a small placebo effect in conditions which had what they call a continuous and subjective outcome, meaning, for example, pain, where, you know, I'm a little pain, a lot of pain, a pain between 1 and 10, that's a continuous outcome. And it's subjective. How much pain you have, that's something you know internally. And those situations they found a small, but what they felt was not a clinically significant placebo effect.
And this is really revolutionary thinking. I mean, it's common wisdom, accepted wisdom in the medical world that placebos do work.
Yeah. What they did was remarkable, very smart, and my hat's off to them, and I think a lot of people's hats off to them in the sense that I've done a lot of work in placebo, and I couldn't imagine there were 100 such trials out in the universe of randomized controlled trials. I've been collecting them. I got up to 45, and they did a really good job. The placebo has always been surrounded by rhetoric, and the accepted wisdom that there's a powerful placebo didn't exist until 1955. Before 1955, the accepted wisdom, you give a sugar pill to someone, that really helped you manage a crank or an ignorant person. But a sugar pill could not have any effect. It was a obvious statement of the materialist reality the physicians tried to hold on some level. And then all of a sudden, in 1955, there's this radical shift in medicine where people say there's a very powerful placebo effect. Both those ideas were always driven by rhetoric, by convenience, by the need to justify other agendas. Placebo has always been a rhetorical device in medicine. And one of the things that these Danish researchers did was say that the myth or the rhetorical device that's existed in the last 50 years, well, really is very, very shaky.
So is there evidence that has, is there clear documentation that the placebo effect really does work?
I think there's a lot of evidence that in some conditions, in some situations, people who take treatment feel different because of the appearance or the symbolic intervention of a therapy. The evidence that the Danish researchers examined was really one kind of evidence. And based on that evidence, they said, well, it's not there or it doesn't look like it's there. And if you look at other evidence, there's a lot of interesting other evidence. For example, there's a series of trials done in the 50s and 60s where people were given either a saline injection or a sugar pill for hypertension, for osteoarthritis, varicose veins. This was before informed consent, when it was legal to treat people like guinea pigs. And people were told they were getting a therapy. And in fact, they got nothing but dummy therapy. And people who got the needles did better than the people who got the sugar pill. Now, both groups got nothing. If people got better and there was no placebo effect, it shouldn't have been different in each group. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Danish analysis is that any changes you see in a placebo arm of a randomized controlled trial is, quote, natural history. You know, people get better anyways, things change, and it looks like it's because you gave them a sugar pill, but actually they were going to change anyways. But if you had two different placebos being compared, you can't use that argument. There's something going on that two different dosages of a symbolic intervention or of a ritual produce two different effects. That's not explainable by the Danish analysis. That's one example.
Haven't there also been recent imaging studies actually looking at what's happening in the brain that have suggested that really something is going on when people take a placebo.
The most recent stuff is really exciting, really interesting in placebo research because they're using more refined tools that allow us to be more precise and more objective in assessing what we're doing and what we see. And there's this wonderful study in Science, De La Fuente, a study with Parkinson's disease, where he was able to show that an injection of saline was able to elicit, make the parts of the brain that released dopamine in the magnitude that was similar to giving an injection of dopamine. In fact, he was able to show that the placebo elicited a series of events that actually released dopamine in the brain. He's able to image that. That's a remarkable documentation on a very material level that a symbolic intervention, a ritual intervention, is able to elicit activity in the brain that then releases chemicals that have a direct impact on Parkinson's. Those are really interesting hard evidence that symbols elicit activity in a neurological sense that in some way explain how symbols can actually change the body's relationship to illness and health.
But still, there's something deeply mysterious about that whole process. I mean, how does that work? How do those symbols, how does that belief in, that you're going to get better translate into actually triggering this neurological response?
How do we know which people get that response? I think what the science does is whittle down a little bit some of the arena to be less mysterious. But in fact, the mystery still resides. How does that ultimately get translated? What people respond that way, why they respond the way, what situations, circumstances let people respond that way as opposed to other circumstances, are there traits that people have, all that stuff we have no idea. One of the things that the Danish study did that was very, very important was that we realized that we can't just talk about a placebo effect in medicine. We have to say the effect of symbols or the effects of rituals in particular illnesses, particular conditions, particular diseases. What are they?
Dr. Ted Kupchak teaches at Harvard Medical School. He spoke with Steve Paulson.